Today on His People, Vern Poythress, on translation issues in the controversial new TNIV Bible.
These people would say, well, we're trying to get out a Bible that's going to be read and that's not going to cause problems, and that's going to produce stumbling blocks in people's way. Well, if you're afraid about stumbling blocks, you might as well remove the doctrine of hell.
That's Vern Poythress today on His People. Although the Bible is new, only released this month, the controversy surrounding it is not. In fact, it was 1997 when the uproar around the TNIV Bible, specifically aspects of its translation, first erupted. And now, with the release of the Bible, the controversy and the issues surrounding it has returned. To help us understand what all the fuss is about, we contacted Dr. Vern Poythress, Professor of New Testament Interpretation at Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia. Dr. Poythress, many have probably heard of the NIV, but what's the TNIV Bible?
That stands for Today's New International Version, and it's a kind of daughter translation. It's obviously related to the New International Version. It's substantially the same organization, the same translation committee that did it, but the big thing that where the differences come out is that it has a gender-neutral policy. That means that it's removing some male-oriented meanings and in some passages and replacing them with something that's neutral in gender. If I can give you an example of that.
All right.
From Proverbs 13, verse 1.
Proverbs 13, verse 1. All right.
The NIV, Proverbs 13:1, is a wise son heeds his father's instruction. TNIV, a wise child heeds a parent's instruction. So son in NIV has been replaced by child, which is gender neutral, and father in NIV has been replaced by parent in the TNIV. And I may say, the original language, Hebrew, the words mean son and father. So here's a case where, and this is, of course, part of a pattern, where something that originally had a male-oriented meaning ends up with a neutral meaning, child or parent.
Can you give us another example or two, Dr. Poythress, that you feel are particularly, I don't know if egregious is the right word, but particularly striking?
Here's one, Matthew 7:3.
Okay.
NIV, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? TNIV, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in someone else's eye? What's happened to brother? The word under there is brother that, you know, has the family connotations. Now it's somebody else, someone else. So, again, the masculine, the male element of the meaning has been eliminated. And in that case, it's even worse because the family orientation has been eliminated.
I believe the way that the TNIV is publicized through Zondervan Publishing House is that it is gender accurate and it uses inclusive language. So the perspective they're taking is they're actually making the gender more accurate. Can you explain to us what they mean by gender-accurate language?
Well, it's hard to explain because it just isn't true. But I think there are some cases where there has been an improvement. There are cases, for instance, I can't point to one right away, where the NIV has, if a man believes or does such and such, where the underlying original means, in effect, if anyone. And sometimes the Greek word isn't even marked for gender. It could be either masculine or feminine. If anyone, and it's clearly universal, well, if a man can now seem to be, well, what about women? You know, are you thinking about them at all? And that isn't the sense of the original. So it's an improvement to say, if anyone. Wayne Grudem and I wrote a book on the whole gender-neutral Bible controversy. It was published in 2000, and then we've got a new edition in 2004 that's called the TNIV and the Gender-Neutral Bible Controversy, because the TNIV is the latest instance of this. And in that book, we make it clear that there are certain kinds of changes, like if a man changed to if anyone, when there's no underlying restriction to a male, that's a good change. That is more accurate. But what's concealed in that language is that it begs the question of a lot of other passages, like the ones that I've just given you, and you can multiply them. In fact, I've got a article on the web. It's a World Magazine's blog area. I've got an article where I go through the book of Proverbs and find case after case where son has become child and father has become parent. Well, it's clearly a pattern of suppressing the male element. Now, there again, you would get an explanation from the other side of saying, well, isn't the principle valid for a daughter or for a mother?
Yeah.
And the answer to that is, of course it is, and people have always seen that, and they saw it when the Hebrew of Proverbs was originally read. The Hebrew uses, typically Proverbs use a particular example. Even our modern Proverbs, a stitch in time saves nine. Well, are you only talking about sewing? Of course not. You're intending that people will think about it and say, well, what's the principle here? Isn't that principle much broader than the example of sewing? Time after time, the book of Proverbs does that. Readers have always understood that it does that. So you represent both the particular case, in this case the father and the son, and you say, well, it's clear that the principle applies to mothers and daughters. I think it's a kind of insult to the intelligence of the reader to imply, oh, people can no longer do that. And I don't think that's the real reason. I think the real reason is it's offensive in certain quarters in the U.S. to have something that singles out a male and doesn't have a female, a corresponding female, right next door.
So your concern about the TNIV Bible, at least at this point, Dr. Poythress, is that it's being mistranslated in these portions where the pronoun is clearly male in the original language, and secondarily there's some kind of cultural accommodation going on.
Yes, that's exactly what's happening, because, you know, you just look at the history of Bible translations. If you go back, the meaning of these words in Hebrew, and then you can go into the New Testament, and it's words like brother in Greek, the meaning of these words has been known for centuries. No translation has ever translated it other than son or child. Son or father. I'm doing the same thing now. Son or father.
Yep.
In the singular, that is. In the plural, it gets more complicated. Suddenly, 1989, the new Revised Standard Version comes out, a revision of the Revised Standard Version, where the committee had been told, you must endeavor to be gender neutral where you can. It does this very thing. Well, that's the first of a series. Why is it happening? Well, the answer is so obviously it's a cultural thing. Now, on the other side, these people would say, well, we're trying to get out a Bible that's going to be read and that's not going to cause problems, not going to produce stumbling blocks in people's way. Well, if you're afraid about stumbling blocks, you might as well remove the doctrine of hell.
Right.
Because that's a stumbling block. There's plenty of things in the Bible that are stumbling blocks. We are not free to remove those parts of the Bible. That's irresponsible. Got to leave in something that's in the original, that is a meaning that's in the original. A faithful translator leaves it in whether it's offensive or not.
Well, my guest today on His People, Dr. Vern Poythress, professor of New Testament interpretation at Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia. So people might ask, Dr. Poythress, since you pointed out the new Revised Standard Version used the same kind of language, came out over 15 years ago, why focus so much on the TNIV if it's not the only Bible, if there are others out there that are doing the same thing?
That's a good question. And the book I alluded to, Wayne Grudem and I wrote, TNIV and the Gender-Neutral Bible Controversy, it does focus on the TNIV because it's the latest. But anybody who looks at that book will see that we don't let off the hook anybody else doing the same thing. The New Revised Standard Version is mentioned there. The New Living Translation is mentioned there. The New International Version Inclusive Language Edition, which appeared in Britain in 1996, there was an earlier kind of NIV that did the same thing. We discussed that in there. So we are against this thing across the board. I think there's more attention to the TNIV because of the popularity of the NIV here in the U.S. It's the main Bible for many, many Christians. To have that changed is going to have a larger effect than with some of these marginal Bibles that not so many people are reading. The other thing is that because it's the main Bible for people, people expect it to be more literal, more word for word, not simply a broad paraphrase that gives the general idea. And if they expect that it's going to be representing meanings faithfully, they're going to be disappointed. They need to know that at an early stage. Whereas it's, something like the Living Bible, for instance, which wasn't gender neutral, was used for years and years, but many people understood, it's kind of a paraphrase, it's giving the general idea. If you want to do serious study, you want to go someplace else. You want to go perhaps to the New International Version or to any of the other versions, like the New King James Version or the King James itself, although that's become difficult for many people to read because there's unfamiliar words that belonged that now become obsolete. But the King James Version was a very good and reliable version in its own time. The changes that have come mainly because it's hard for people to understand if they haven't been raised on it. So the point is that the New International Version, because it's the main Bible that many people use, they expect it to have the kind of accuracy that I think a main translation needs to have, because it's going to be used for all kinds of purposes. It's going to be used in the pulpit as people are preaching, and they refer to sometimes to individual words and depend on those to be accurate. One of the severe problems with a gender-neutral policy in general, and with the TNIV in particular, is that it changes around the pronouns in the Bible. The main reason for this is that it refuses to use generic he. That means a he like the following: if anyone loves me, my father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. I emphasize the hymns there because the verse, that's John 14:23, the verse begins with anyone. And everyone understands that it's a general verse, applies both to men and women. But the way we continue and refer back to that anyone is with the him. All right, and that's still true today. My friend Wayne Grudem found just a day or so ago in USA Today, here's a case of the use of him and his in that same way, generic he, picking up on an anyone. Okay, so it still occurs. It's not misunderstood. In a broad series, newspapers, major publications, you will see this thing being used, even though it's offensive in some quarters, right? It's offensive on some college campuses, but that's an ideological thing. So to represent the meaning of the original, which has a third person masculine, you want a third person masculine in English. You want a him and a him. Well, it's changed around. Sometimes it becomes they, sometimes it becomes you.
Hmm.
So how does the average person who's reading the Bible know when he reads you or him or them? Well, if he reads him, he can be pretty sure it's still him. But if he reads the TNIV and sees something that's they, well, that might represent a they in the original, or it might represent a him in the original. If he reads you, that might or might not represent a you in the original. You don't know. And there's something like 40,000 cases
Wow.
in the entire Bible of the occurrence of these pronouns. That is a serious problem in terms of just how can I know? Now, I happen to know Hebrew and Greek, the original language. I can go and look, but what about the average person
Yeah.
who's stuck with an English Bible? Well, we depend upon the English Bible to be accurate. And the English Bibles have been accurate, but here comes one that loses accuracy for the sake of acceptability.
Dr. Poythress, we've been talking, of course, about the pronoun issue. What about the male pronoun in the term in terms of God, he, him, and so forth? Are those fiddled with at all?
Those are, for the most part, still there.
Okay.
And I'm grateful for that. There are some radical feminist translations that try to tamper with that. The TNIV does not. God is referred to using a masculine pronoun, he and him, in English. There are still a few problems that relate to things that refer to Christ. For instance, Psalm 34, verse 20. Psalm 34, verse 20 says, he keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. You look in the context, and it's talking about God's protection of the righteous man. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Well, there are many people who think, and I think, that that verse is alluded to in John 19 with respect to the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
Because John does point out that when Christ was crucified, you know, they broke the legs of the two thieves that were there, but they didn't break his legs because they found he was already dead, remember?
Yes.
Yeah, well, then John says this took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, not a bone of him shall be broken.
And so that's referring back to Psalm 34.
It's referring back either to the text in Psalm 34, or to one in Exodus about the bones of the Passover lamb. I think it's probably both, because certainly both are related. Psalm 34 pictures the righteous man. Well, who is the supreme righteous man?
The Lord Jesus.
Christ. Yes. Yeah. So this, I believe, is a fulfillment. Now, guess what the TNIV does with it? He, that is God, there's still a masculine there, he keeps all their bones.
Hmm.
Wow. Who's now going to see that this verse is related to the fulfillment in Christ? Their bones, you see, because they were afraid to use his.
Hmm.
It's his, well, it's a third masculine singular, it's the equivalent of his in Hebrew. Hmm. Why not translate it in English? Because you're afraid of using his when you're representing a general righteous person, right? They want to degender it. It's a righteous person, either male or female. Well, surely the principle would apply to everyone. And again, Bible readers have always understood that a male example, the principle extends to a female, that a female example, the principle extends to male. What about the woman who loses a coin? Well, does that apply only to women? Who've lost something? Well, clearly not, right? So people have always understood that an example that uses a man or a woman expresses a general principle. There's no problem, I believe, in understanding. The problem, if there is one, is offense. People don't like something that singles out an example that happens to be male unless you have an equivalent female example alongside of it. In Proverbs, for instance, well, before I get to Proverbs, but the fact is, this verse is damaged in the TNIV because you can no longer see clearly that there is a connection with Jesus' crucifixion.
Yeah.
And that is a serious problem. You just don't want to see that happening in any Bible. That things that relate to the central matters of Christ's work, now we can no longer see so clearly. If I may go back to the general thing, in Proverbs, there are some verses like the one in Proverbs 13, where it talks about a son and a father. There are others that are there where there are parallel proverbs, one of which is about a father and one of which about a mother. Well, guess what? Those verses are left intact. And I'm glad they're left intact, but of course that's consistent with the cultural idea of equality of prominence between male and female. You can tolerate that in modern culture if you have in one example with a father and then the next one with a mother. What is not acceptable in these egalitarian circles is that you would have an example of a father and no parallel one with a mother. Well, Proverbs does both, and the TNV leaves intact only the ones that are, have the father and the mother together.
And there is some of that, I think you alluded to earlier, changing from a singular male to a plural. And then you touched on the Psalm 34, but doesn't that happen in the New Testament too? And it kind of changes the impact of the individual's accountability before God in some cases?
That's right. In fact, the passage that I cited from John 14:23, there's a problem with, because it has generic he in the earlier translations. If anyone loves me, my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That's how it reads in the NIV and earlier translations. Well, here it is in the TNIV. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." So they didn't want to use him, even though there's a singular term in Greek. They changed it to them. Well, what's the effect? The final phrase, "make our home with them," can easily be understood as the corporate picture. We make one home, and the word home is still singular. We make one home with a plurality of people. Well, it's true that God in Christ dwells in the church, but that's not what this verse is saying. It's saying that the home is made in the individual person. And that is no longer clear at all in the wording that the TNIV has changed it to. This is the problem that they have. When you damage meaning, when you change and you refuse to use the generic he, you can damage meaning. When you change to plurals, it sounds roughly the same. If you just read over, you say, oh, the same thing. But then if you look carefully, here's a change in meaning. Now, it's no longer clear that this applies to an individual. That's a serious breach of trust. We want to know whether this is focused on the individual, the Father and the Son coming to him, or is it just the group?
Dr. Vern Poitras, Professor of New Testament Interpretation at Westminster Theological Seminary in Philadelphia. He's discussing the TNIV Bible, which was released earlier this month. Part two of this discussion tomorrow. You've been listening to His People. Many thanks to today's guest. Thanks for listening, and I hope you can join us again tomorrow at this same time for another edition of His People. Reader's Choice is next.